open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Our text this morning is in verse 35. Verse 34 and 35. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. Now, as I told you last Sunday, we did not finish the message, and we would come back to it this morning. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to reiterate a little bit of what we discussed last Sunday, and then hopefully go on to the objections that people raise against what Paul has given us here in the Scripture. And my theme subject is simply woman's scriptural role in the assembly. The assembly is the church. And the Lord, as I pointed out before, does not have to give reasons why he gives a law.
Amen.
He gives what he chooses. Sometimes he tells us what those are and why he does it, but he doesn't have to. And if he doesn't give a reason, it makes no difference. The law is just as valid if he gives a reason as if he doesn't give a reason. It makes no difference whether we know why a law is given. He gives it. He has every right to do that. So we want to keep that in mind. Now, there have always been preachers, churches, individuals who want to get around what Paul says here in our text. And we see very notably today many women preachers. I like what Charles Spurgeon said about that. He said that a woman preacher was like a dog walking on his hind legs. He said, you don't see it very often, and it is not done well. And he meant, it's not done according to Scripture. And it makes no difference how successful these people are. And I know that some of these televangelists that are very successful, that is, they're taking in millions of dollars every year. If you're going to measure success by monetary means, they're very successful. But unfortunately, according to the Word of God, they're anything but successful, because the Lord will rebuke those that do such things. Now, some people say, well, the reason that you take this position about women not preaching and not being able to preach, and this is the subject involves the heresy of women preaching. And they say, well, that's just because you're against women. Nothing could be further from the truth. I love the ladies, and I give them all the support that I can, and I thank God for them. And I've known a great number of godly women in my lifetime that I can look back and say, I thank God that I knew that woman. I remember particularly in the church that I pastored in Iowa, that there was a lady there, and she was a spiritual giant. She wasn't a giant in stature, but she was a spiritual giant. And I remember on one occasion there was trouble in the church, and she was the kind of a spiritual lady that I could tell her things and talk with her about things. And I presented this matter to her, and I never told her what my position was, what my thinking was. And she came back instantly with the exact same thing that I believed on that subject. When you have that kind of thing, you begin to understand the spiritual nature of people. And I've had many women that I could look to in that manner. So I'm not against ladies. Don't ever think that. That's not the case. And I pointed out in the first place then that there's only one place or one way to settle a subject like this. And that is according to what the scripture says. You don't need to go to the dictionary. You don't need to go to public opinion. You go right straight to the scriptures. And there's where you settle. Because if you want to do the will of God, we have no other way of knowing the will of God than from this book, which is His revealed word. The Holy Spirit revealed every word in the scripture, and that is our chart and our compass, and we must follow it. So I pointed out then what the word silence meant in the scripture, and I gave you some examples, and I'm not going to go over those again. But I want you to note that there were other passages that I gave you that preach the same thing or teach the same thing that 1 Corinthians 14 did. And if you will remember, I gave you 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we will just turn there and read that passage because it's important to have these things before you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we will read a few verses there. 1 Timothy 2. Begin reading in verse 8. Now here the Apostle Paul distinguishes between men and women. Now it's true in the Bible that sometimes you will read the word men and it refers to both men and women. That's true. But there are also distinct words for men and for women. And note that Paul says here, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And then he contrasts it in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach. Now that means any form of teaching. That includes preaching. That includes giving a devotional. That includes teaching a Sunday school with mixed. It's not wrong for a woman to teach women or children, but it's wrong for her to teach a Sunday school class if there's both men and women in it. Because that's what he says now. I suffer not a woman to teach, and that includes all those things, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam, now he gives the reason. Doesn't always give this reason, but he does here. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. You have to remember now that what Paul's doing, he's going all the way back to Eden, and he's saying God created the man first. Then he created the woman. And therefore, the man is to be the head of the home. He's to be the head in the church. He's to be the head in all of these kinds of things. You say, doesn't that degrade the woman? Absolutely not. It puts her where she ought to be. Let me tell you something. And I don't work anymore, but I have worked. I've done a lot of hard work. I know what work is. And when we went out on a job, and I remember one time, it was on a Saturday, we had a job, and we had to put these drives up on a thing. They were about 6 in height. And the man that was supposed to help me, these things weighed about 100 pounds. And let me tell you now, that's all two men want to handle when you've got to go up high with it. And the man that was supposed to be helping me that day come in drunk. And so every time, and we had several of these units that we had to put up there, every time we would start up, he would say, hold it, Jim, hold it. And he couldn't do it. This is nothing against the ladies. But you don't want a lady helping you do that job. because their bodies were not made by the Lord to do that kind of work. They're not as big as men are. They're not as strong as men are. And I've often said, I see and hear all the time of these men who call the police because their wife hit them. Domestic abuse. And I've often said, and I might have to change my mind about this with some women, but I've often said there's not a woman on the planet can hit me hard enough to make me call the police. She might knock me down and knock me out, but I wouldn't call the police. But at any rate, what I'm trying to get across is the Lord made women different than men. And the other thing is, and I'll just throw this in, I was in the Marines for 4 years, and I know what it is to be in a foxhole, and I never saw any combat, but we had to dig foxholes. And listen, there's a lot of things in that kind of training that we went through, and I didn't want a woman in the foxhole with me. And it's wrong, and I don't care what the government says. I'm opposed to it, tooth and toenail. We got no business there. And let me tell you, if there's a man and a woman in a combat situation together, he's going to be trying to protect her instead of fighting. And therefore, that kind of thing is wrong. Now, I know that they've done it, and I know it's going to be that way, but I'm telling you what I believe the Word of God says. So, there's a difference between men and women. And women are not weak spiritually, and they're not weak mentally. They're strong in those respects as men are. So, we're simply saying this is what the Word of God says. And he gives this reason, and Adam was not deceived. Now, this is the second thing. First thing is, Adam was created first. And the woman was made for the man. Because there was nothing in all creation that he could communicate with fully. If you've read Robinson Crusoe, you'll remember how that he had a parrot that could talk. And I don't remember his dog's name, but his dog died. And when he come back to his hut, that parrot said, "Where's the dog? Where's the dog?" And he said it was very painful. And you have to recognize that he could have far more communion with the dog than he could with the parrot, even though the parrot could talk. Well, there was nothing in all creation that Adam could have communion with like himself. And so the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon him. Now, this is the first surgery that ever occurred in the history of the world. And the Lord took a rib out of his side and made Eve and brought her to him and presented her to him. Now, that's what Paul's saying here. And then Adam said, "This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his own wife. They twain shall be one flesh." The Lord said that, and Adam said it. Apparently got it from the Lord. But notice then, Eve is deceived by the devil, and she is first in transgression. Now, Here's the reason behind these laws that God has given. So notice that he says in verse 14 of 1 Timothy 2, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." Now that's not saying that women get saved because they have children. That's not what that's saying at all. He's simply saying that that is the manner of the life of a woman is in childbearing and being submissive under a husband and so on. And if they continue in faith, now there's how the woman is saved. Nobody is saved by anything they do. That's salvation by works. The only way we can be saved is looking to Jesus Christ. And we get everything we need from Christ. It all comes from Him. And so she will thereby be saved in faith and with holiness and sobriety. Now, having noticed the grounds in a limited way, remember that the Lord said to Israel when he gave the commandments after Moses brought them up out of Egypt with all those mighty miracles, well, then he gave them dietary laws. And he said, now here are the kind of animals, the four-footed animals that you can eat. It has to chew the cud. Now, a lot of people today don't know what that is, but if you've ever been around cows, the cows chew the cud. They regurgitate what they've eaten, and they bring it up in their mouths again, and they chew it again over and over, and then they swallow it again. That's one thing. If you're going to eat something, it has to chew the cud. But it also has to split the hoof. If it doesn't do those two things, you can't eat it. Well, along comes a camel. Now, a camel chews a cud, but he doesn't split the hoof. Can't eat a camel. That's what the Lord said. Here's a hog. Splits the hoof. Doesn't chew the cud. Can't eat a hog. And you can take those animals and sort them out. Now, the sheep and the goat, they both split the hoof and chew the cud, and you can eat them. Now, there are some people like Seventh-day Adventists and others, they think that God was giving health laws. Those laws weren't health laws, because in Acts chapter 10, we find Peter, just before he's sent to the household of Cornelius, he receives a sheet sent down from heaven, and in it were all kinds of creeping things, things that most of us wouldn't want to eat. A lot of animals that the Jews certainly would be detested to even think of eating. But the Lord said, rise and slay and eat, Peter. And oh, he said, no, Lord, I've never eat anything common or unclean. Never put anything like that in my mouth. He'd never eat a terrapin. He'd never eat a swine. The Lord said, what I've cleansed, don't you call common or unclean. Now, understand that if those dietary laws that God gave Israel when he brought them up out of Egypt had been for health purposes, as these false teachers contend, then in Acts chapter 10, he would have never changed that law. But you see, the Jew now can eat pork. Paul was able to eat pork if he wanted. He may not have, but he could have. And he could have eaten any of the other animals. That was the way the Lord changed the law. So they were not for health reasons. That's not what those laws were given for. And those individuals that and I used to work with, the Seventh-day Adventists, and he said, oh, if it wasn't for the money, nobody would eat pork. I said, I would. Because I like it. I like ham. You see, they've got those, and most Seventh-day Adventists, incidentally, border on being vegetarian if they aren't. And that's all a false thing. And I have a good brother, lives in Florida, and he could be a vegetarian, but it's not anything to do with dietary laws. He just doesn't like meat. He said he just never learned to like it, and he doesn't like it. And he said, I do eat a little bit of fish, but other than that, no meat. Well, that's all right if that's what he wants to do. And anybody that wants to live that way, that's their privilege. But don't you go making a law for somebody else. That's what so many of these groups do. They develop something, and they say, this is the way it's got to be. You got to do it too. And they go so far as to say, if you don't, you're going to hell. That's a real heresy. So we want to watch that. I want to take up some of the objections that we hear. I want to include every one of these that I can think of that I've heard. First of all, people will say, well, what you've read And what you've said concerning 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Timothy chapter 2, was just for that time alone. It was a thing that passed away. It doesn't have anything to do with today. Well, that law that the Lord gave, let your women be silent in the churches, is an absolute law. And unless there's a new revelation, that law holds. It is given unto us as one of the Lord's churches, and we're to hold to it and continue to it. Now, that law is not absolute, for the women can sing in church. Of course they can. And we sing as a congregation. And anything that the congregation does, sometimes we will actually have people to read with us when we read the scriptures. And that's not wrong for the woman to do that. And we may do anything like that, and I don't often do this, but if I were to say, if you believe this, say amen. Well, then everybody can say that. So that's a point. The other thing is, when anyone comes before the church desiring to be a member, we require them to give an experience in grace. And the women can do that. Now, I remember a preacher that I knew in Chicago who baptized me, incidentally, Brother Jerry McDaniels. He said, when I talked with him about this has been longer than I care to think about, but he said, I've known women that if they gave their experience in grace could preach for 45 minutes. Well, that's probably true. But John Gill lived in the 1700s. And John Gill, he says that women should be able to give their experience in grace. And that's what he did in his church. And I believe that's right. And I think that's what Baptists have always done. And I think that's agreeable with the scripture. For what the scripture here is forbidding is for them to take authority and in a teaching, in a role that's not suitable for them. Therefore, another thing that she can do, if she is a witness, when some person is brought before the church to be excluded on charges, and she's a witness, she knew about it, she can tell what she knew. She can give her testimony. That's right also. And she, as I've mentioned, she can sing with the congregation. Now, I will mention this. I do not believe that a woman should sing a special alone, because Colossians 2:16 says that in psalms and hymns, teaching. And so that is a form of teaching. And I think we shouldn't do that. And I've run into a little bit of trouble with some of the brethren about that. And I had one preacher and his wife sing specials in church. I think it's wrong. I don't tell them what to do, but when they come to our church, I expect them to abide by what we believe. And he didn't like it much because he was coming to our church to preach. And I told him that we would not ask his wife to sing specials alone. If he sings with her, it's okay, but not by herself. Now that's, you say, is that just your opinion? Could be. Someone said to me one time, we were discussing something, and he said, well, that's just your opinion. And I said, yeah, whose opinion do you expect me to give? And so we go along with those things. Now, the other thing I want to mention a woman can do is vote. The woman who is a member of the church has a right to vote. There are brethren that differ with me on that. There are some churches that do not allow the women the right to vote. I know of some. Well, that's their, if that's what they believe, I will not argue with them about it at all. I think they are wrong. I want to go according to what I believe the scriptures, and I think that the scriptures indicate that the whole assembly gave its consent on whatever they did. Once I knew a case where a deacon in the church, his wife, voted contrary to what he did, and he went up after the services to her, and she wore a veil, and he jerked the veil off of her. Now, he did greater wrong than she did. Therefore, There's many things then that the woman can do, but these things are forbidden. Now, let me give you some objections that people give about this. They say, well, these were troublemakers in Corinth, these women, and they were dealing with these women that were disrupting the services because they were speaking out. But if this was a local thing, I want you to note what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34. We'll read verse 33 as well. He said, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." And notice what he says. He doesn't say in Corinth, but he says in all churches of the saint. Now, look at the next verse. He says, "Let your women keep silence." He doesn't say in Corinth. That's what this idea, this objection is. Well, that just pertain to Corinth. No, it doesn't. Notice the plural, in the churches. And notice also that he says, "And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church," in the assembly, any assembly. Therefore, we can't see any evidence of this idea that this was just a specific problem of Corinth. Then they say it overlooks the talents that women have. Now, I want it to be understood that women have talents that are as great as those of men, but God has purposed that they are not to be exercised in the same way that the man's talents are exercised. It has nothing to do with her. And then some go so far and say, well, you seem to think that the intellectual status of the women is below that of the men. Oh, no. I'm married to one I know far above me. You see, that hadn't got anything to do with it. It doesn't make any difference. You know, the Lord didn't say through Paul, if a woman has an IQ of 150, she can preach. She can teach. I didn't say that. It doesn't make any difference. If a man has an IQ of 85 and a woman has got an IQ of 145, here's the issue. God may call that man that only had an 85 IQ to preach. But he didn't call a woman, and I don't care what her IQ was. So we have to keep these things straight. Paul was setting divine mandates in this passage and in the other passage in the teaching of the New Testament. And that's the way it's to be till the end of the world. He doesn't say those women that are abundantly qualified may preach, but if they're not qualified, they can't preach. No, he doesn't say that. There's no such thing there. And so, the woman that refuses or rejects the word of the Lord. Listen to what Paul says here. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual. And you know, this is what people say. They say, well, we're just more spiritually minded. They may not come right out with the word. But they say, we're more spiritually minded because we recognize that women can preach and teach men. They know more than men do. A lot of them do. That ain't got anything to do with it. Listen to what he says. Let him submit that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. We're dealing with inspiration here. The Lord has given us this and he put it in his word. And he didn't put it in there just to fill up space. He didn't say, Paul, you're running a little short on matter here. I want you to put this in to fill. We know better. We know this is the word of the Lord. When we go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, we learn the same thing. And it has nothing to do with the ability or the spirituality of the woman or the man. I don't think God calls a man that's not spiritual, but he doesn't call a woman, even if she is more spiritual than the man that's standing next to her or whatever. Therefore, in conclusion, the scripture is very clear. You don't have to get a college degree to understand what Paul's saying. You've got to go a long way to get around it. The calling of God, I'm talking about the calling to the ministry, and I believe that a preacher must have a calling of God. I don't think, no man takes this honor unto himself. If he doesn't get a calling from God, he can never be a God-called preacher. He may preach. He may be a pastor of a church, but he can't be a God-called preacher. And no woman has ever received that calling because Holy Spirit will never go against his own word. When he said the woman is to learn in silence with all subjection, I don't suffer them to speak in the church, but to be in silence as also saith the scripture, he will never turn around and say, well, here's a woman over here that's got talents, and I'm going to go against what I said there, and I'm going to call her to preach. That never happened. That didn't happen today, and it didn't happen yesterday, and it ought never to be recognized anywhere. Rejecting the commandment of the Lord is rebellion. We must always put ourselves under submission to the Lord. The Lord has revealed these things in Scripture for us so that we may know His will and do it. And let us pray that the Lord will help us always to submit to Him, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because remember now, Christ chose how many apostles? 12. And do you remember? There wasn't one woman in the 12. Do you remember when he got ready to send out others to go where he was going to be? Where he was going to preach? 70 of them. Not one woman. And the Lord, who himself has given us these straightforward scriptures, wants us to do things according to his will. Because we're saved by his grace. We submit ourselves to him. When an individual enters the Marine Corps and goes into a unit, he is subject to the commander of his company. And he must, if he says go there, you go. If he says come here, you come. We're always to do what we're commanded to do by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the one that gives the rules and gives us the command. Let us obey him because he is our Savior. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.